Hey there, I'm Mitchell Shiver, lead pastor at Legacy Church, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. No matter where you are, we want to help you connect to Christ, one another, and God's mission. If you're in the Canton, Marietta, or surrounding areas close to one of our physical locations, I want to invite you to join us in person this Sunday. Most importantly, I want you to know that we're here for you. If there's anything we can do, or you want to know how to take a next step in your faith journey, please let us know by going to lcga.info.
Hallelujah. It's good to be with you today. It's good to be seen. It's good to see you. We continue our series. This is the last week of our series, Fresh Start. What were we talking about, a fresh start? We started our first week with a fresh start, with a new vision. And the preacher back then, I believe it was me, God put in my heart that we cannot start a new vision, we cannot start a new year without a new fresh anointing. What a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit. We were talking about connecting with others. We were talking about fresh start with God. That we can do all these things with the help of the Holy Spirit, with that anointing. And some of you are thinking, what is that anointing? Well, you can have the best car that you can have, but without fuel, it's not going anywhere. Now, that does not apply to my Tesla, guys. Sorry. Without electricity, you can't go anywhere. But it's my desire that we fill ourselves with that fuel, with that spiritual fuel this morning. We'll be talking about a fresh start. And today, for the next 25, 30 minutes, 33 and a half, because you know how I am, I have to tell you and guide you on the purpose. Small task. But what is my purpose? We all ask ourselves this question. Small, young, every culture, whatever you are, what is my purpose? What is my existence? What was I born for? And maybe you heard, maybe not, oh, you were oops, baby. I know Latinos, everybody, oops, baby. We don't plan. We just let ourselves go by the Holy Spirit and revival, and boom, it happens. But even if your parents did not plan you, you are already in God's plan. Even if your parents didn't think of you, God was already thinking about you and for you. The Bible says, in my mother's womb, I knew you. In my womb, my embryo, they saw your face. So you might not think that I have a purpose. You might not think I don't have a skill. But let me tell you today, God has a purpose for you. God has a calling for you. God has chosen you for a time like this, at a church like this, to hear a pastor like this. And this is my desire, that we live from today realizing that God chose us first. What's the point of my existence? If we may hear the media everywhere around, well, maybe it's just to make money, to have fame, to have a career, to have the perfect job. How about to influence others? But if this was the case, that we wouldn't see famous people with anxiety and depression and even taking their lives. 2014, our great beloved Robin Williams, Oscar winner, made us all laugh. 50 million in the bank. I could use that 1% of that. He took his life because he couldn't take it anymore. You think, oh, maybe it's just because, you know, the career that he was in Hollywood. 2018. For the women who like fashion, Kate Spade, with a 13-year-old daughter, hung herself in a Manhattan apartment, leaving her daughter alone with a $200 million mucho dinero money in the bank. And you're like, okay, I understand the pressure of fame. But if someone has a perfect job, maybe, same year, 2018, Anthony Bourdain. Travel around the world, trying the delicacies of the world has to offer. Black beans and rice, tacos, tamales. All right, fried okra, macaroni and cheese. Some barbecue, why not? Think about the job. Come on, I think all the guys were just trying food around the world. Meet celebrities. Eat for free. Praise Jesus. He took his life. Living an 11-year-old. So if money was everything, if a career was everything, If that's what brought purpose to our life, then how come everything that we, quote unquote, sometimes desire and these people have, it seems like it doesn't fill them? That there is something else that they haven't discovered. And it's my desire for us this morning, for us to see past what the generation of today offers us. That is a temporary thing when God is saying, yes, this might be temporary. It might look good. You might have influence. You might have a nice house. But what I offer you is eternal. What I offer you is not from this kingdom. It's from God's kingdom. But what do we want? What do we desire? What's my purpose? Not only to exist, but Jesus said for you to have life, an abundant life. You see, too many people today are about pleasing others and pleasing people, pleasing for themselves. Galatians 1:10 says, am I not trying to win their approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. If I were trying to please people, I would have stopped moving around 10 years ago. On the camera, people say, you move too much. Amen, hallelujah. I say, I'll keep moving. I remember when they asked me, do you travel? Oh, yes, every 3 months I like to take a small trip. No, do you travel on the stage? I live on an airplane in the stage. I don't know where it takes me. But people try to please others. There's people in the media trying to please their viewers, trying to influence people that they don't like them. And we see people around the world, you know, trying to do all these things in social media, the TikTok dance, and grandparents, ask your grandchildren. They know what I'm talking about. But everybody's trying to please everyone else and themselves. But are we trying to please God? Do we care what people think, or do we care what God thinks? Because if we are trying to have the approval of people, then let me tell you, it's most likely it's going to take us away from the purpose of God. You see, living for the approval of people will keep us away from the purpose of God. Because these two are in conflict. We'll end up either sacrificing relationships for success. We'll end up choosing popularity over purpose. Or we'll end up choosing money over our calling. But God's purpose gives you fulfillment. God's purpose gives you joy. God's purpose gives you peace. Not the peace that the world offers, but the peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace that you might not have food, you might not have a king bed with nice comforters, but because I know people around the world in third world countries that they don't have what you have. They don't have what we have in the fridge. But let me tell you, they're joyful. You don't have to tell them to worship when they come to church. You don't have to tell them to raise their hands because they've known God. They've experienced God. They know the God that provides. They don't know a guy who gives. They know that it's not by their hand, but the God who provides all the time. This is the God that in America we need to experience. Because we're living in a buffet church where I go and I pick, they have this today, they have that today. Well, we can pick and choose a church in every corner. But the moment things get hard, I don't know if that was my purpose for me to be in that place. But God's purpose gives us the fire, the fuel to keep going. Hey, there might be some tribulations along the way. There might be some complications. There might be some distractions. You see, the biggest enemy of our purpose and our calling is distraction. It's not our gruesome sin. It's not fornication, getting drunk, or smoking pot and doing drugs. Yes, it is a sin, I said. If it's in the Bible, I preach it. But if the enemy can just get us distracted, if the enemy can get us busy with our jobs, with our careers, with our hobbies. Oh, where is anybody, Robert here? No? Where is little Robbie? Oh, he's fishing, he's hunting on a Sunday. Oh, he's watching the game. Men, God has called us to be the priesthood of the house, to set an example. But if we are distracted with everything else, the enemy's happy with it. But the moment we're walking in God's purpose, the moment that we're pushing to what God calls us for, the moment that we're believing for what God said, the moment that we're pushing because if God said it, He will do it, you will find rejection. You will find tribulation. Jesus said it Himself. In this world, you will have tribulations. But fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. For I'm preparing a place for you. For your kingdom is not here. For there will be a day when the church of God will be reigning with Christ. Will be a day for you and for me with no pain, with no tears, when we'll be with Him and in Him once again. That is the promise for the church. Jesus never promised anything physical, anything from the territory. Jesus promised His kingdom and His heaven. What Jesus promised is not from here. Romans 12:1 says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So it can be a sacrifice sometimes. But I promise you, church, that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealing us. The enemy of our calling. We see it all the time. Men and women of God who have a calling, who have gifts, and they're just distracted. And there's a story in Nehemiah that I find very interesting because, you see, what I like about Nehemiah and his purpose is that he was just a cupbearer. He was no king, no warrior. He was not deliverer. I don't know if he could speak or not could speak, but he was just a cupbearer. Now, I when I was reading, what does a cupbearer do? He just tries the drinks of the king. The wines and the Coca-Cola back then. Praise God, hallelujah. I'm like, man, I kind of like this job. I tried to look at indeed.com, but no matches came up. But such a job where all you got to do is try the drinks, make sure nobody poisons the king. Okay. You have to have a lot of faith for that job. But one day, people from Israel come, and he asks about his people. Because even though he was serving in the kingdom, he never forgot where he came from. Because even though he was serving with the king and trying the delicious things that the king would try, he didn't forget where he came from. He didn't forget about his God, and he didn't forget about his people. So he asked, how is my people? Oh, they told him, the walls are broken. It's a mess. Jerusalem is a mess. The people is a mess. Everything is a mess. Hashtag mess. And the Bible says that Nehemiah got sad, his face turned, where the king could see that that was not his regular cupbearer that would try the wine with rejoice and go to other vineyards around Georgia. And asked him, what's going on? And he tells him, this is what's going on. And all of a sudden, the cupbearer becomes a builder of walls, the one who restores the words of Israel. And I was wondering to myself, that was not his purpose, that was not his gift, but he only believed. He answered a calling. I don't know if he had a credit card to Home Depot or not, but somehow God supplied the resources. Somehow God touched the king's heart and everything was provided. The Bible says that the king even gave him an army to go before him, letters to go. You see, when God calls you for something, there will be, yes, tribulations and trials, but God is going to open the door. God is going to open the way. He's going to supply the resources and he's going to take you whenever you can't go. And when Nehemiah is doing this, all of a sudden the distraction comes. And the enemies. Nehemiah 6:1-3 says, when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab and the rest of the enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall, and that a gap was left in it. Though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates. Sanballat and Geshem text him this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messages to them with this reply. I'm carrying a great project and cannot go down. In other words, thank you, but no thank you. They were trying to distract him. They were trying to come off his calling or what he was doing. If there's a distraction, if there's something in your life, because the enemy knows that if he just distracts us, we're no threat to his kingdom anymore. And the enemy knows when a man and a woman of God are walking towards God's kingdom, are walking towards God's purpose, are working towards what God and the church has established as the purpose, when we are at a body of Christ and everybody's fulfilling their purpose, we are a threat to the kingdom of the enemy. We are a threat to the devil. Because then we're fulfilling our church established here on earth. What it says, and through you and through my church, I will break chains. And through the church, I'll bring deliverance. And through the church, I'll bring healing. I'll bring salvation. This is the promise. But if he can just distract us, what is taking our distraction? What is taking our attention that is distracting us? Our purpose is far more just to please others, to please ourselves, but it's also to please God. Peter and others, apostles replied, we must obey God rather than the human beings. Acts 5:29. You see, God's purpose to your life is found through Jesus. Everything else around the world just gives us the happiness of the temporary, but it doesn't give us the fulfillment and the joy that only Jesus can give us. And I like what this verse says in Ephesians 3:10-12. His intent was that now, through the church, there's a church here, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he may accomplish in Jesus Christ our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. You and I have an eternal purpose. You and I have an eternal agenda. The enemy only offers temporarily. The enemy only offers and then takes away. God blesses us and gives us a purpose and gives us his joy. Philippians 2:12-14 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. He has a good purpose for you and for I. You're no mistake. In other words, what the word is telling me in plain English is that whatever God, whatever heaven declare, hell cannot stop it. Hell is going to attempt to stop it. He's going to attempt to distract us, to distract the church, for the church to stay quiet, to distract his believers. But if he said it, I believe it. And if he said it, he will do it. Because I know that he's true to his word and he's faithful to his promises. And whatever heaven declare, hell will not stop it. That's what the Bible says. Not even the hell's gates of hell will prevail against the church. Sometimes I feel like we, the church, have forgotten who we are and who is in us and through us. And the Bible says the same spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead is in us. It's in you. Romans 8:11. You have no chumi chumi gucci fuchi spirit. You have the spirit of the holy God, the spirit of the almighty God. Not the spirit that they're offering nowadays over there with the witchcraft and the crystals and do this and the Ouija board and all that. All that's from the devil and there's no power in it. We worship a God that is all-powerful, almighty, all of that time. But the church has to be reminded. It's like when somebody inherits a big money or homes and, you know, you have a rich uncle and you don't know about. And then all of a sudden you inherit all this money. Do I have a rich uncle? My mom is here with us this morning, so do I have a rich uncle? But you have all these rights and you don't even know. And I feel like God is telling us in 2024, in order for you to start this fresh year with a fresh anointing, with a relationship with God, with a relationship with others, we must remember our rights. Our rights are documented here in the Bible. You were chosen. You are God's people. You are people of His kingdom. You are children. You were delivered. You were saved. And there was a price that was paid for you and for me with the blood of the Christ, with Jesus Christ. He humbled Himself for you and for me. He gave you a name. He gave His life so you may have life. He became sin so He could wash our sins. I don't know about you, but that's a God that I worship. That's a God worthy of my worship and my prayer, my excitement, my passion. I think I took a shot of the Holy Spirit this morning, so bear with me. If there is opposition, it's because you're in the right track. If there is tribulation, it's because you're doing God's work. If you're not facing opposition, if you're not facing resistance, then let's check where you're heading and what you're doing. If you're just content with check marks on Sundays, yes, I made it to church, hashtag. Because God is calling a generation, not only of believers, but disciples of Christ. Because the Bible says that even the demons believe and tremble. But disciples copy their master. And God is reminding us, there's rights, there's blessings, there's truth, there's promises that we must walk on, that we must believe. And I know that you and I are saying, but preacher, how do I find my purpose? Can God use me? I ask the same question. Can God use this? Many years ago, I didn't choose to be a preacher. I was scared of talking in front of people. English is not my first language, as you already know. I am from around here. My English ain't very good looking sometimes. I give the verses backwards because I learned them in Spanish first. Because in my mind, I thought that God was calling me to preach in Spanish, to stay in the Spanish church forever. But God has a calling, and whenever God calls you, and God told me, you know what? I'm going to reveal myself in your weakness. And I told God, God, you know what? That's fine. Use me if you want. I might not give a 3-point message with a 3-point application like my good pastors give out there. I might not stick to my notes, my poor media people. But as long as people can see you, maybe they might not understand me, but as long as they hear your voice. And I pray the prayer of Moses of Exodus 33. If your presence doesn't go, then I don't want to go. I have no business talking about what I don't know and what I don't have. I only preach of what I know, what I've experienced. The books don't fill me. The witnesses don't fill me. I told God, I want my own witnesses. I want my own experiences. I want to be able to give my own experiences. And God said, okay, I'll use you, but I must break you. I don't know what season you're going through in this new year. But there's different seasons of our life. A season of drought, a season of fire, and a season of rain. I've gone through the drought season. When I came to church and it was just another day. When I didn't feel God's presence, when I felt like God didn't move, when I felt like my life was just boring, and I was serving. But I understood something. You see, there is something for us to understand, that there's two different types of people. And God is not necessarily looking for workers, but He's looking for lovers. Because Martha knew how to get Jesus in the door, but Mary knew how to keep Him in the house. Martha was busy with ministry. Martha was busy serving. Martha was busy with what she had to do. Mary was busy at the feet of Jesus. Mary was busy listening to the kingdom of God. Mary was listening to what Jesus was telling her. Mary was busy in God's presence. They said, God, can you use me? He said, yes, but I must break you. You see, He calls the unqualified, so He can qualify you. Moses couldn't speak. Jeremiah was just a child. Nehemiah was just a cupbearer. Elijah, well, not this Elijah, but the one in the Bible, he was suicidal, he was afraid. Matthew was a tax collector. He was the son of Uncle Sam. Peter was just cuckoo, and he was just a fisherman. And I love the fact that God used unqualified people, that God uses weak people, that God uses broken people. Because he told me, I will use and I will break you. And I said, God, as long as your presence, your light, and your glory shines to my crack, do whatever you need to do. There is a recipe for you to be used. Yes, you must die every day. You have to pay a price. Salvation is free. But to be used, to be standing on this altar, to be able to be in the worship team, you have to pay a price. You have to practice at least. I'm sure our brother Chuck didn't just was born one day. He was just crazy with electric guitar. There's a price that he paid. Shannon, well, she copied my voice. Just kidding. We must, knowledge and information has a price. What are we hungry for? What are we burning for? What are we seeking after? What makes a difference within one church when we see God move in another church? I've shared many weeks ago when I was studying revivals around the nation and around the world. And I studied these different men of God. And I understood that my God of power and supernatural is not the God that remains in the Bible, but he comes out of the Bible when we believe. And I saw this man of God, that God do miracles and healing and wheelchairs left in the ground and people heal. And I said, God, what has happened to our church? And the church has forgotten its rights. We have forgotten who we worship. God is only going to do as much as we believe him to do. God is not going to, but that's why the Father said, help my unbelief, help my faith. The biggest enemy of our calling, the biggest enemy of faith is doubt and unbelief. And only few people believe that God can heal them today. Only few people believe that God can do a mighty thing. Only few people still believe in the church sitting that God is a powerful God, that is the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. How do we start, God? So God, it starts with surrender. It starts with understanding that it's not my will, but it's his will. Matthew 26:39. Going a little farther, he fell before his face to the ground and prayed, talking about Jesus. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus himself, right before the cross, fulfilling the prophecy of Philippians, what Paul said in Philippians 2, that him being God, didn't just stood as being God, but he humbled himself by taking the nature of man, humbled himself to the death of the cross. And that by this, God gave him a name that is above all names. It starts without understanding that it is not my will, but it is God's will. It starts without understanding that I am weak and he's strong. That I might have to decrease so he may increase. That it's not my way, but it's his way. That his thoughts are greater than my thoughts. It starts when we understand that Jesus has to be at the center of it all. That we still worship the same God. How do I find my purpose? It's all about Jesus. What is the standard? God's glory in everything that we do. God's presence, God's essence. The biggest obstacle for you to fulfilling your purpose in life, for you to fulfill your calling, is not the enemy, it's not people, it's you. The biggest challenge for your purpose, the biggest challenge for us this morning is going to be between your thoughts and the calling from God. The biggest challenge is going to be between your past and the future God has for you. The biggest challenge is between fear and faith, between drama and destiny, between anxiety and anointing, between depression and God's presence, because in His presence there is rejoice. But God is going to allow us to be in the drought so we may get hungry, so we can get thirsty for Him. A few of us in a small group are finishing today a 21-day of fast. And I'm not telling you this for you to see, look how spiritual he is. We did this fasting because I'm not spiritual enough. But when we were talking two Fridays ago in our gathering, I was telling them, have we experienced hunger truly? You know, the type of hunger where your stomach embarrasses you and starts singing symphonies that you've never heard before. The type of hunger that your stomach hurts, that your head is just banging. Because now we're used to the, you know, noon fasting. Oh, yeah, I fast until noon. But you woke up at 11 a.m. No, I'm talking about the fasting that creates hunger for the spiritual. I'm talking about the fasting that, you know, you're like, God, I don't know. I think I'm a, you look at crack or whatever. When you're hungry, whatever looks good. You want to try a new restaurant that is not that good? Go hungry. But the problem, church, is that when we're hungry, we also tend to eat whatever, and we can eat junk food. And we tend to fill ourselves with junk food, and this also goes into the spiritual world. What are we eating? Whether it's online media, what are we reading? What are we believing? But we're hungry. We develop a hunger for God. That's why the Bible says, the psalmist, I'll be hungry for you. I'll be thirsty for you. My soul longs for you. And this is the type of hunger that God is wanting to develop in us. But then the question, that the million-dollar question, how do we create hunger? How do we create hunger for something that maybe you've never tasted? You see, this morning, I don't know who of you woke up and said, I'm hungry for some Indian food. Maybe you never tasted before. We have to experience the presence of God. We have to experience Him in the secret room. We have to be hungry for Him, and He will share His presence with you. So we may be hungry for Him. What is my purpose? What is my destiny? First of all, before we think about purpose and calling and gifts, our first calling is to be with Him. Jesus said in Mark 3:14, He called His disciples to be with Him. And then He sent them out. Our first calling is to be with Him. Everything else comes. Otherwise, we end up working ourselves instead of praising the God who gave us the ministry. Our first calling of servants, our first calling of preachers, our first calling of everybody who's in leadership is to be with Him, in His presence. When you go into the drought period, where if you've been in ministry, you've been in church, I'm pretty sure you've been there. You've gone through a drought season. You've been to a time where, you know, church gets boring. He preaching again? Oh, no. What the worship team isn't knowing, where everybody at church, whatever they do, bothers you. God is letting us to go through a drought season, so you cry out for Him. And then He lets you go to the fire, so He molds you. And then after that, you're ready for the rain, so He can bless you and bless others through you. So your purpose is found in Him and through Him. But let's start by coming to Him. Let's start by taking one and seeking His face and His presence. I know what the news say. I know what ABC says. I know what Fox Sports, CNN, ABC, Telemundo, Univision, those are the Latino channels, that is tough over there. That is hard. that there is an oppression, that there's suicides, that there is wars. But I don't care what the news say. I care what the Bible says. I stand on the Bible and what the scripture says. And I know that he is true to his promises, that he is faithful to his word. And I know that he will complete the work that he started in each of one of you. Philippians 1:6. I know that earth and heavens will pass away, but his word will never pass away. Matthew 24:35. I know that he's doing a new thing. But at this month, as January ends, statistics say that by the end of the month, you see, when the first year starts, everybody was at the gym with the new diets and everything in January, the first week. But as the third week, fourth week goes, all of a sudden the bread starts looking good again and the sugar is just calling my name. But the reason some of us started this fast this year was because I wanted to establish what's going to be the rest of the year, where I'm going to be hungry for him, believing what he's going to do in 2024. Well, I said, God, I want less of me and more of you. And the biggest power still here on earth, church, is still the Holy Spirit. You see, we are driven by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. We are filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 3:16. We are defined by that Spirit, Romans 8:11. And we are anointed by that Spirit, 1 John 2:27. We are people of the Spirit. We can only fulfill this purpose with him. Without him, we bear no fruit. As the worship team comes up, I was praying and I shared with you many weeks ago that I was thinking about what has gone in the past in all the churches and revivals around the world. What is the secret sauce? You know, when you ask your grandma, when you ask her, what's the secret sauce? I sounded Italian, I don't know why. Anybody Italian here? Okay, I'm going to go with it. Secret sauce to your tomato. The sauce, the pasta. And your grandma, fresh tomatoes, the basil, the garlic, the salt, and the pepper. You're like, anything else? That's it. And I ask God, what is the secret sauce to revival, for us to be rejoiceful in your church, for us to see your presence, God? It's always been the same secret sauce. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Jesus at the center of it all. Our church planted and established on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit acting and flowing to his church. And the gift of the Holy Spirit in every person, fulfilling their calling, fulfilling their purpose. When the Holy Spirit is taking place, not a program, not some notes on the paperwork, but when it's God doing what he wants to do at a church, when we give him room for him to do his work, when we give him room for him to heal, when we give him room for him to do salvation, to do deliverance, to do breakthrough, that is the secret sauce. It's always been the same thing, church. God is still the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. But we must remember our rights. Our rights are in the Word. Our rights are in Christ. My God is a powerful God. My God is a God of miracles. My God is a God of the supernatural. My God still heals. My God still saves. My God still delivers. My God still breaks the works of the enemy. And this word, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's power of salvation. A program, an activity, the lights and the smoke is not going to transform anybody. It might attract people, but it won't transform anybody. You know what transforms people? You know what the secret sauce is? It's God's presence. When we allow him to do what he wants to do. When I say, I surrender, God, do whatever you want to do in my life. We are the clay, he is the potter. How are we this year? If you are bored, if you're disappointed, are you in God's presence? Are you in God's calling? Are you doing what God called you to do? Because I learned that whenever I was frustrated, whenever I felt like church was boring, ministry was boring, because I was not doing what God called me to do. Because I was not spending time in His presence again. Because I was not reading the word I used to. What is just passion? When was the last time you cried in God's presence again? For me, it was this morning. When was the last time that you pleaded and said, God, do it again. Do it for my church. Start with me. Break me. Shine through me. Shine through the cracks. When was the last time you shared this gospel that we're so proud of? Not just kept it in these four walls, but we told someone out there, look what God has done in my life. Look what God is doing in me. Look, I was this and now I'm this. I was there and now I'm here. And it's by His grace and His mercy, by His love and His power. Your life is the biggest testimony. You don't know what you're calling us? Start with pursuing His presence. Start with pursuing Him. Start sharing what He's done in your life. Start filling yourself with Him. I promise you, the career, the job that we give ourselves to sometimes, we pass away and they just hire someone else. We give our lives and everything to jobs and everything that we do out there. They might mourn you a week or 2 weeks or a month. But when we worship the King of Kings, when we give ourselves to God, there will be a reward. You will be rewarded. First here on earth and then in heaven. So I ask you today, how is your cup? As we end this month of January, how is that fuel? How is that fresh anointing? And whatever you are, don't live the same way you came in. God has a purpose for you. God has a calling. God is not looking for abilities. God is looking for availability. Hashtag it, post it, write it in your heart. If you don't have a talent, if you're weak, if you don't know how you're going to do it, welcome. Every Sunday, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I know how am I going to start. I know how I'm going to end. But if you believe that He can do it, for all who believe, everything is possible. Mark 9:26. Can we stand up this morning? I don't know what your purpose is. I don't know what you're calling us, you know. But I can tell you that it's more likely aligned with your gifts and with the talents that God has given you. And the only thing that I can tell you is that you'll be able to find joy and fulfillment when you're in His presence, when you seek Jesus, and everything flows. You can be at the door, or you can be in the back where nobody sees you. But you have His presence, you'll be fulfilled. You'll be filled. You have your joy and peace. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord. I thank You for every person here this morning. I bless every life, from the youngest to the oldest. I ask You, Father, when we take away any distraction that is keeping us away from our purpose, from our calling, that You're reminding us this morning that there's a higher purpose, that there's a higher calling, that there's an eternal calling and an eternal purpose. God, but we can't do this without You. We need more of You and less of us. We pray for our church. For I know that You established this church here in Marietta, Georgia. For us to be able to fulfill our purpose here in Marietta, Georgia. That Your presence may abide. That Your Holy Spirit may do whatever He wants to do in our church, in our lives. That when people come here, they may feel Your presence because we give You freedom. I ask You in the name of Jesus to take away any distraction And I pray for healing in the name of Jesus, because your word says that by your stripes we are healed. I pray for salvation this morning. I pray for freedom, because your word says that where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. I pray for deliverance, because your word says that your anointing, God, breaks all the jokes. I pray for you to fill our cups today, that we may be able to burn for you. Restore the joy of our salvation. Restore our faith. Fill us of your Holy Spirit. I pray all this in the name that is above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ.